Perhaps the fact that I was raised in this part of the world is the reason that I have such a strong affinity with mountains. Once I told a cohort in Louisiana that I missed the mountains. He asked me where I was from, and when I told him Alabama, he assured me that the mountains in Alabama are not mountains at all. Real mountains, he pronounced, are found in places like Colorado and California. I didn't really talk to him much after that. We didn't have a lot in common. And while I understand that mountains in other places are higher, I have a personal connection with mountains that have trees on them all the way to the top. Those sorts of mountains, or foothills, or whatever term is used to officially describe them, are reassuring to me. I've always felt the presence of God when I'm surrounded by mountains. Having spent much of my adult life in Louisiana, South Georgia, and Florida, I was always struck by the beauty of the mountains each time I came home to visit family. The unfortunate tendency of living surrounded by such beauty is taking it for granted. If you've lived in the flatlands, you might have the same experience I have of driving down a perfectly straight road, looking into the horizon, and seeing a dark gray rise of a mountain ridge, only to realize moments later that the mountain in view is actually a cloud forming a mirage of a mountain ridge. It's good nonetheless. If you can't be surrounded by mountains in reality, at least your mind can play tricks on you to make you think that you are. Mountains are good. They are also important scripturally. Big things happen on mountains. When people go up to a mountaintop, we know something important is going to happen. This is certainly the case in our readings today. Mountaintops are where people have up-close and personal experiences with God. That is not to say that people can't have up-close and personal experiences with God in a bog. They certainly can. But mountains, at least in Scripture, are significant for their ability to bring God and people to a new level of connection. In Exodus, Moses is summoned to the top of the mountain to meet with God and receive the law and commandments that God will give him for the instruction of the people. Moses is there with God for 40 days and 40 nights, a long time in the understanding of the Hebrew people. The glory of the Lord settled on the top of the mountain in a cloud. God was often found in a cloud or in fire, leading the Hebrew people, his people, through the wilderness. God settled on the mountain in a cloud, but when he spoke to Moses, his glory was a devouring flame, the same cloud that guided them through that wilderness by day, and the same fire that led them by night. Still, the people were afraid. When Moses came down from that mountain, his face was glowing. This is what happens when you get close to God. You're visibly changed. The people were afraid. Getting too close to God was known to be a dangerous thing. If you get too close to God, you will die. We just better let Moses get close, and we'll stay a safe distance away. He can tell us what we need to know. Peter, James, and John didn't get off as easily as the wilderness wanderers. Just 6 days after Peter made his bold pronouncement of Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Messiah," followed by a serious rebuking, he and two others followed Jesus on a hike up a high mountain. They could have not prepared for the events that would happen in their wildest dreams. Jesus' appearance changed. He He shone with the radiance of God. Surely they thought of Moses and the tablets, and no sooner had they had that thought than Moses appeared there as well, and then Elijah. They had to have been scared beyond belief. From everything they knew in their history, this would surely mean instant death. Moses and Elijah were dead. They had been dead for centuries. There was no rational way that they were right here in front of Peter, James, and John, but they were. No sooner had they wiped the disbelief from their eyes than a voice confirmed what they had heard before. "This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." But a phrase was added this time. "Listen to him." Now they were really afraid. There was no doubt that God was involved. They had seen the brightness. They had heard the voice. They would surely be struck dead immediately. And they fell down to the ground. They fell down in awe. They took cover like school children do in a tornado drill. This was God. And they could not even imagine what might happen next. Fire, wind, tempest. There is no limit to the power of God. The interesting thing is what did happen. There was no fire, or wind, or tempest. There was no earthquake. Darkness didn't cover the land. That would happen soon enough. What happened is that Jesus reached out and touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." He might have barked it out like a drill sergeant, disappointed in the spinelessness of his followers, but I imagine that he reached out in love, as he so often did, and spoke to them in a calm voice of reassurance. "Get up. Do not be afraid. Remember this experience. Hold on to it when you need reassurance, and you will in the days to come." Jesus didn't need this experience, this transfiguration, to affirm his relationship with the Father, but his followers did. Jesus knew that the days to come would be hard, would lead to his death, and that the future would depend on his followers to pass his words on. They needed assurance. They needed to know without a doubt who he was, that he was the fulfillment of Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophets. That God's plan was continuing to be worked out, and that they, Peter, James, and John, were a part of that plan. So often when we think about the Transfiguration, we think about life-changing or once-in-a-lifetime high points in our experience. We focus on the amazement that caused Peter to want to build 3 booths to capture the moment. We think about times in our own lives when we are so filled with awe and wonder that we can think of nothing more than how to hold on to them tightly. We tend to overlook the image of Peter, James, and John on their faces on the ground, overcome by fear. This was not just a feel-good moment. This was the experience that knocked them not only to their knees, but to their faces. They were overcome by fear and awe. They knew that they were in the very presence of God, an experience that by all historical accounts would leave them dead. But they were not killed, nor were they left there alone. Jesus reached out to them and touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." No matter where they were, Jesus was right there with them, teaching them, leading them, assuring them, and giving them everything they needed. After this mountaintop experience, Peter denied him. John and James, by all accounts, deserted him in his darkest hour. And still he came back to them. Jesus touched them time and again, reassuring them and encouraging them, "Get up and do not be afraid." words were not only for Peter, James, and John. They're for us all. At our 10:30 service today, we will baptize Jackson Holt Monk into the body of Christ. He will be transformed, made new. Jackson will go through the waters of baptism and be sealed with the sign of the cross on his forehead and marked as Christ's own forever. Before that happens, though, we will retell the story as the water is poured into the font. We will remember and be remembered with all who have gone before. We will tell about how water has been used by God throughout history, how the Holy Spirit moved over the waters in creation, how Moses brought the people through the waters into freedom, how Jesus was baptized by John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah. When Jackson is brought through these waters, he too is brought into that story, a story that started with creation and continues today. A story which begins with the Creator God who controls all the elements, earth, like the mountains, air, fire, water. Today is again a day of transfiguration and transformation. We are all remembered into the story. And lest we fall on our faces in fear and awe, we are touched by Jesus and told, get up, do not be afraid.